Down to Business with Bobby Kerr on News Talk.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
It's been an intense week, as you know, on Irish roads and increasingly on filling station forecourts as fuel protesters block the motorways and refineries, causing delays and general mayhem around the country. But of course, the protesters or representative bodies got to meet with government ministers. That was the original demand, although not every protester got what they wanted in terms of a meeting with the government. Colm McCarthy, economist and expert on the public finances, is with me now. Colm, good morning.
Morning.
Is this unprecedented, this kind of protest? It reminds me a bit of water charges, I must say.
It reminds you of?
Water charges.
The legacy of the water charges episode, it's kind of cast a long shadow because all of the political parties prior to the by-election, I think it was, in Dublin South West. When was that, Pat? But 10 years ago,
yeah. We had the kidnapping of Joan Burton.
Exactly. And an independent candidate won the by-election, Paul Murphy, isn't that his name?
Yeah.
And he said that he thought water should be free. And all of the political parties had, prior to that, insisted that water is very costly to deliver and wastewater treatment is very costly. It's a big industry. And it has to be paid for. Same as everything else. Electricity is provided by a state company. It's not free. But all of the political parties discovered after this by-election result that water indeed was free and that it comes down out of the sky. And I think that decision, that capitulation by government and opposition, all the political parties were the same. And some of the parties most vociferous in demanding that water charges be abolished had themselves said, oh, I will personally pay the water charges if they're brought in, and so on.
Yeah.
So the long shadow cast by that, I think, was blocking depots and roads in the last few days.
Where does this actually end? Because, I mean, clearly fuel is very expensive for particularly the hauliers, and we depend on them for our groceries to be delivered. We depend on energy for pretty much everything. If energy prices go up, ultimately costs go up. But these hauliers are saying, look, we're all stuck on bus operators. We're stuck in fixed contracts.
Yeah.
So we can't afford. We may have to stop our operations because we simply can't run the trucks or run the buses. Where does this finish?
Yeah. Okay. There's a tiny snag with that way of looking at things, and it's the following. We don't have any oil. Oil is an internationally traded commodity. There is a world price for oil. We import the stuff. You either pay whatever the world price is,
or you don't get it.
The government, I remember about 30 or 40 years ago, you might even remember this, there was a huge increase in certain retail prices, one of which was coffee. And it's happened again recently. Coffee's got very expensive because of droughts in Brazil and didn't they have floods in Brazil, which sounds implausible, but they did. And the coffee crop has been affected. Now, all the Irish government can do in those circumstances is give out free coffee at the street corners. That's all they can do. They cannot affect the weather in Brazil, and they cannot affect the world price of oil and natural gas.
Here's a question I've been pondering. I mean, the culprits here, you can say that Iran is a culprit because it's blocked the Strait of Hormuz.
Yeah.
You can say that Netanyahu, by encouraging Trump to start the war, and Donald Trump, they are collectively responsible for the war and therefore the surge in prices. I don't see any trucks outside the U.S. embassy in Ballsbridge.
No, but don't forget that the objection to having to pay for water and people were facing water bills, they might have had to pay 100 quid a month or a couple of hundred, as they do for electricity and gas and fixed line telephones and broadband and everything else. But once it was discovered by the politicians that water was actually free, then that becomes a right. Mm.
But oil is never going to be free.
Even
if we discovered it off the coast of Cork, which they're suggesting that we should start drilling, and suppose we bring it back in 2045, finally bring it ashore, it'll be sold at the world price.
Well, Sinn Féin, Adam, but for now, the cost of water and the obligation to somehow pay for it is entirely domestic. We don't import the water from Iran.
So the question is, if the world price is fixed, in other words, what we get a gallon of petrol or diesel for before taxes, if that is fixed by world price, the only adjustment we can make is through our domestic taxation regime.
Correct.
They've dropped excise already. But the extraordinary thing is, and I've done a little sum for you there, Colm, if you take 75 cent as the cost of a litre coming in, and then you add the excise, and then you add the carbon tax, and then you add the oil reserve fund, which is only 2 cent, and then add the VAT on top of all of that, it comes out at €1.80-something. If, on the other hand, you charge the VAT on the original price of the liquid itself, and after that you add the excise and the carbon tax, you save about 20 cent.
No, you don't save anything.
No, but I mean, you drop the price by 20 cent.
Yeah, and governments can always drop prices of items that face indirect taxes by cutting their indirect tax revenue. So all you've said is that if government charged less VAT by narrowing the base of VAT.
But isn't it, it's an offence to me, I think, tax on tax. And that's what's happening. You have a tax which is excise, and then you have tax on the tax. That doesn't even seem fair.
Well, once people start talking about fairness, I revert to arithmetic.
Well, that's what I did there.
And arithmetic is morally neutral and politically neutral. If the government reduces its annual tax revenue, then that has to show up somewhere. And eventually, it either shows up in weaker government balance sheets and weaker government finances, or the whole thing is deferred into the distant future. One of the problems that the government is facing, but they're not talking about it very much at the moment, is the following. The international economic outlook is not great. This war could end quickly. I mean, the war in the Middle East and the war in Ukraine, they could end quickly, or it could be a complete screw up, in which case there will be an international downturn. Now, something that people used to be very aware of, but they seem to have forgotten, is the following. The Irish economy is very small. It has a lot of imports and a lot of exports. And when the international economy turns down, the Irish economy tends to turn down even quicker, and vice versa. Ireland occasionally booms and does a little bit better than other comparable European economies. So the economy is very volatile. And in a very volatile economy, you need to run the public finances cautiously. And the government hasn't been saying this, but I am pretty sure that the senior officials in the Department of Finance have been saying, look, things look all right now, tax revenue looks okay, but some of it is a bit flaky. A lot of it's been paid by American companies, for example. And there is this risk that things could,
global recession.
Yeah, and in those circumstances, we need to be cautious. And it is always the case, and the general public always behave like this, when you see a lot of uncertainty coming about your financial position, the correct response is to be a bit more cautious than you might have been otherwise.
So how does this end, this fuel blockade? The government has prepared a package. We don't know the detail yet.
Yeah.
But they're not going to reveal the detail until the standoff is over. In other words, yeah. until the blockades are stopped.
Yeah, I mean, I just don't know. This example of widespread and coordinated civic disobedience and illegality, really, is always a big challenge for governments. They sowed the seeds of this when the IFA were allowed to occupy the Borbia headquarters down in Balls Bridge. That's trespass. I am not allowed to march into your office here.
You'd be summarily removed.
And occupy your office and so on for a week or whatever it was. And that was tolerated. Now, those farmers that were perched in the Borbia office in Balls Bridge, whatever the rights and wrongs of their case, were breaking the law. It's trespass. And what's been going on the last week is illegal. You're not allowed to block people's premises with tractors.
Colm, thank you very much for your wisdom. Colm McCarthy, economist and public finances expert.
Down to Business with Bobby Kerr.
Sponsored by Bank of Ireland.
Saturday morning at 8. News Talk. Conversation that counts.